So I would like to read five passages of scripture. The first in the Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, just verse 8. To do thy good pleasure, my God, is my delight, and thy law is within my heart. Isaiah 53, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. I would just like to read the first part of verse 11. He shall see of the fruit of the travel of his soul, and shall be satisfied. The book of Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, from verse 65. She had said to the servant, "Who is the man that is walking in the fields to meet us?" And the servant said, "That is my master." And she took the veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac led her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. And then in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, according to John, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 24. "Father, as to those whom thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Sorry, final passage in the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1. Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1, verse 10. "For do I now seek to satisfy men or God? Or do I seek to please men? If I were yet pleasing men, I were not Christ's bondman." Dear brother and sister in Christ, I would like tonight, with the help of the Spirit, to say something as to the satisfaction of Christ's heart. What is pleasing and what satisfies the heart of our common Lord and Saviour. It's not that I feel really suited to say something like this, but it's been a deep desire in my heart, a deep exercise as I walk through life and through this world. And I thought it's something that we should share as Christians, as fellow believers in our common Saviour, in our one Lord and one Saviour. Dear friends, I feel it is truly in my heart that as we move in this world, if there is something that is to be different in us, in our lives, in our houses, in our hearts, is that we are here to satisfy the heart of the Lord Jesus. And we should be interested in doing this every day of our life. Now, I don't think I can say I am able to do this, but I do feel by sharing the exercise, we might be encouraged one another. We might be able to help each other in seeking what is for the satisfaction of the Lord's heart. And there's something deeper, dear friend, and I trust the Spirit will open it as we go through the passages. If something satisfies the heart of the Lord Jesus, then it satisfies our heart. Then it means that we are fully identified with our Saviour and with our Lord. And thus we can be called Christians. And thus we can walk and act as Christians. I'm not saying this from the behind the desk thinking that I am able for this and that I am well into this. I am rather very humbly desiring to share what I believe should be our prime aim in our lives as believers in Christ Jesus. So if we look at the first scripture that is in the Psalm 40, We have somewhat a prophetic word, I think is right to say here, so we're looking on to what the Lord would say, would have said, and did say, when he actually came down here, in this world. To do thy good pleasure, my God, is my delight. The first desire of our Lord Jesus down here was to do the good pleasure of his Father, of his God. The first desire of believers down here should be to do what is the good pleasure of our Father, of our Savior. I find it so touching that the Lord speaks about the good pleasure of his God. This really hurts my heart, because how many times I haven't recognized that what God had in mind for me was good according to his heart. You know, so often as believers, we it's a great challenge, dear brother and sister. We have our own thoughts, our own ways, and we think we can go some way or do things in some measure. Yet, sometimes things turn against us. And we think, why ever should this happen to me? Or we believe we're in the right of something. We believe we're doing something that would be according to God's heart. But, dear friend, we can be sure that if our real desire is to do the good pleasure of our Father's heart, then we are in line with what is according to Christ's heart and according to his satisfaction. The Lord came down here and revealed the Father's heart. But we're reading at home in Matthew, and he speaks in parables. And he explains why he speaks in parables there. And it's not for everyone to understand immediately what God has to say and what God's heart is all about. But when we come into the benefit of salvation, that is, when we come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as our Savior, then we enter into the kingdom of God in that sense. We enter into the sphere that is to be according to the satisfaction of Christ's heart. And then we can follow his examples to do thy good pleasure is my delight. It's not only his desire, it's his delight. It's something that satisfies his heart. So if we move on to Isaiah, a very well known verse, I think, often referred to by many brothers in prayer, and by often, at least in our localities, often referred to as we gather on Lord's Day morning together, as we take a look and take it our desire to see what pleases the Lord's heart, and we discover that he finds pleasure. He is satisfied in seeing the fruit, the travel of his soul. Now, the fruit, the travel of the Lord, our Lord's soul, is what has come out of his death. What has come out of his work on the cross. What has come out of his work down here. And what is it? It's me and you. Dear friends, believers in Christ, the ones that can feel the Lord's heart with satisfaction because we believe in him and because we are his own. You know, I think this verse looks on to a marvelous scene when Christ shall be eternally satisfied with his bride sitting at his right hand. When he shall be forever with his bride, the one that is being created, being formed for his pleasure. We were at a wedding meeting not long ago, and it was said that the bride is to be for the satisfaction of the bridegroom. That is the whole purpose of the bride. And dear friend, I came home from that occasion having a deep sense if really I was ever satisfying the Lord's heart. And it is my desire that we should share it together. It's not something that we can do as individuals. Being part of the bride means that we're all of one and that we all cooperate together to bring the satisfaction to the Lord's heart. Each one of us may have some gift. Each one of us may have something precious, something that is allows us to be of service to the Lord. But I recently came to that we would like to do many things for our Lord Jesus. At least this would be my desire, but we cannot do them all. We cannot do them all, and we don't have the strength or the power to do even one of them. The Lord Jesus has done it himself. He has been on the cross, and he is personally satisfied with the fruit of his own work. He doesn't need us in that sense to bring satisfaction to his heart with our works. He has done it himself, and this is what Scripture points out here. Yet, dear friend, he will find pleasure if we set aside some time for him, if we set our lives aside for him. And you will never regret it, dear friend, dear brother, dear sister in Christ. You know, I wanted to link this passage to Genesis very briefly. I have no desire to point out any specific meaning of the passage in Genesis, except for the fact that Rebekah was able to satisfy Isaac's heart in a time of, may we say, suffering for Isaac. It speaks explicitly, that he was comforted after the death of his mother. No, this is no particular, I don't want to imply this on the Lord at all. All I want to say is that the bride can bring pleasure and satisfaction to the Lord's heart. We are here, dear friends, and the bride is being formed down here to be ready for the satisfaction of the Lord's heart. And then it will be all completed when the bride will be taken to be with Christ. You know, but many that are part of the bride have already been taken and are already at rest. They have already fulfilled their part in that sense. They have done something in their lives that could be satisfying to the Lord. And we are here. We that are present, dear friend, should seek that. We should have that desire in our hearts. If we are to be true Christians, we are to be engaged with the satisfaction of our Lord, Lord Jesus Christ himself. I often wonder at the bride and the perfect plans of God, you know. And as I look around, we've had several interesting experiences in our family. We've met different believers in different situations, different ideas, different ways of walking, yet the common desire to be for the satisfaction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, dear friend, is what I would like to convey. And I'm sorry if I repeat it more than once tonight. That is really what I believe is the center of the believer's life, as being of Christ and for Christ. You know, everything, the creation has been made by Christ himself, for Christ, as Scripture puts it. And dear friend, what God is creating, what God is forming in the bride, is to be formed by himself for the satisfaction of his own beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, as we move on to the New Testament, then we come to a beautiful chapter. I was reading this chapter, I will confess, I was a bit shy of it. But one evening I was coming back from a business trip from Paris, and I felt that I should read Scripture. And I felt that I should read John's Gospel. And for the comfort of the young ones here, I sat in my little seat in the plane and read it carefully read my Bible, hiding it away. I had beside a man that was doing maths exercises and another one that was looking at Aspro, very concerned about us. But as I read this chapter, dear friend, what impressed me was that the Lord expresses his desires for his own. And he brings them in prayer personally to his Father. Now, I had never, ever considered so deeply that the Lord Jesus prays for us in a very special way. And he seeks that our hearts might be engaged with him. And he has prayed so much, and you can read this chapter over and over again, and the Spirit will impress you, dear brother and sister, as to the Lord's desires for us, for his own people. And there is, I think, the peak desire comes in the verse we've read, when he says a very simple thing, but if we, the Spirit helps us and we go into it, we see something marvelous there. He says, Father, as to those whom thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also may be with me. Now, I used to think when I first came to know the Lord that this was clearly the day to come. This was clearly when the Lord will take his own to be with himself. And I don't think that is wrong to say that. Absolutely. The Lord Jesus will certainly have us with himself for eternity. But there was something even more precious that touched me when I realized that this can be true from now. Because, dear friend, you know why? Because the Lord Jesus is living. The Lord Jesus is raised. He lives in heaven. And he desires that where he is, we may be with him. So as we have our natural bodies, we could be raptured. We could be taken directly to heaven. Some in scripture have, if I'm not wrong. Some have passed directly from this earth to heaven. But I would say that all of us will have to face death. And our bodies will have to be laid down. But, dear friend, in the Spirit's power, that is, in our new life, we can be raptured in that cell, in that sense. And we can be with Christ, even when we're walking down here. And I think there'll be many believers that can witness this, that they have felt they were walking with Christ in a certain moment through some difficulties. A brother recently was taken back in Italy. And he had one feeling, he couldn't express it very well. All he could say was, I know in whom I have believed, he could say. And he had this feeling that he was with Christ already as he was going through that so much suffering. And this is what he shared. He said that he was so thankful for the trial he was going through, for the tests that he was enduring, because they were bringing him to live with Christ. You know, so dear friend, I do believe this verse can be true today. And it is our desire, I think, to seek that this might be true in our lives. It is the Lord's desire, and that's for sure, and it's stated here, that his own should be with him. So, sometimes we've experienced it very preciously at home. If we gather together on a Lord's Day morning, to praise, to remember our Lord and to praise him, we are carried away in the power of the Spirit, and we can enjoy the Lord's presence where he is, and we can contemplate his glory, and we can look upon him and see him where he is. You know, the Lord desires that we should be where he is. Isn't this affecting, dear friend? You know, and I believe as we walk down here, sometimes we lose sight of this desire of the Lord. We are it's easier for us to share our desires with the Lord and to ask him for things. I read a long time ago that prayers should have a silent moment. Instead of us always speaking, we should leave a moment for God to speak to us. You know, and I made it for some time an exercise to do this. And it was quite interesting what came out of it and what God was willing, the Father was willing to share. And I think as the Lord prayed every night, he went in fellowship with his Father. I'm sure some of those moments were silent and the Father was speaking to the Son. And we know that he did so. We know, for example, on the Mount of Transfiguration, that the Lord, the Father revealed, he spoke as to his Son and as to his delight in his Son. Now, there's a little addition to the desire of the Lord. He says, that they may behold my glory. It has been in my heart, dear friend, that after this occasion there will be something for the glory to God, God's glory, but God's satisfaction. And what is it? It's the Lord's desire is that we should be with him to behold, to see, to contemplate, to look at his glory. Now, dear friend, I think the nice picture is Stephen, the first martyr. And as he was there through that test, that trial, died for his Savior, he could look and he could behold the glory of the Lord. That was, never forget, that was not only Stephen's desire, but that was the Lord Jesus' desire for Stephen and for us. So, dear friend, as we go through tests, dear brother or sister in Christ, do not despair. Do not let go, but just desire to meet the Lord's desire and behold his glory. Be with him and see his glory. I have personally witnessed what it means to go through a test and see God's glory shining, the Lord Jesus' glory shining in front of us. And it's a marvelous experience. And so it is for all those that seek to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus and to be pleasing to his heart. So, the last passage. In Galatians. Now, as we come to the practical side of life, I think we all know that we just move on in our daily things. Young ones go to school. I did not like school myself. Then we move on to college or university. We really feel we should do it. We move on to these things, and then we go to work, and we believe, oh yes, at last we can have some peace and quietness, and that's where life starts. And my grandma always used to say, when I started work, she said, "Welcome to the world," and I was very confused. However, what I wanted to say, dear brother and sister, is that. We start growing up in our exercises, things start testing us, difficulties come along, they have tests in the family, difficulties, and difficulties seem to come as close as they can. Yet, if we seek the Lord's help, we will have exercises as to himself, and maybe even to serve him, or to be here for him. Yet, then the devil comes in and tests us as to those things and deviates us in our thoughts, in our minds, and sets us in different pathways, and we need the Lord's help, constant help. But what was in my mind here is what is the desire in our heart. He says, "Do I now seek to satisfy men or God?" Now I think if in any decision in our life we were to ask ourselves this question, we would make the decisions a lot faster and in the right way. do we seek, dear friend, as Christians, as belonging to Christ, do we seek the satisfaction of men? And that starts from myself, and then the ones that are close to me, and the other. Or do we seek God's satisfaction? It says that if I were yet pleasing men, I were not Christ's bondman. Now, if we are bondmen of Christ, if we have, and that means if we have been set free from Christ himself, then we should be walking down here pleasing to God's heart. So the center of our interests as believers in Christ is to be walking to please God's heart. You know, I've often wondered, I've often asked in meetings, what does that mean? How can we do this? How can we actually be satisfying to God's heart? And I think all that is needed, as Christ is concerned, is that we love him and we desire to do so. The Lord Jesus himself will work in our hearts, in our conditions, in our circumstances, in our own families, to bring satisfaction for his own heart. He will do it. There is no need for us to get busy with our hands to do things. I think that was the thought that was with Martha as she was laboring so much. She was doing it for the Lord himself. Yet she was so busy laboring that she kind of forgot, probably, that the Lord was actually there. And that she was doing that for himself. And how many times has happened for me? You set on a thing, you're convinced you're doing well, then you've discovered you've forgotten, you've lost your real aim, your real goal as to the believer. And that is to be concentrated and to be fully attracted to the Lord himself. So I just thought that it's nice to see a person like Paul sharing this. Someone that, at the beginning of his life, with a different name, Saul, was thinking he was doing what was according to God's heart. And yet he was so far away, he was actually going in the opposite direction on the pathway. Yet the Lord Jesus, and this is the evidence of what I've been trying to say, turned him completely and turned him and brought him the right way, and he was then deeply attracted to the Lord Jesus himself. So, just before I finish, dear friend, dear brother, you know, if it's any one of you that still does not believe in the Lord Jesus, all that I have said is still applies to you, dear friend, but will not take any meaning in your life until you come to Jesus as your Savior. We often take visitors to see the Matterhorn, a very impressive and imposing mountain. It was the third tallest, highest mountain in the Alps. And back in the days, there was a big fight between Italians and English on who would climb the Matterhorn first. And they were doing it on the opposite sides. The one team was on the one side, on the Swiss side, the other team on the Italian side. Anyway, it's good to know the English won it. But there's a museum in Zermatt, which is just at the bottom of the Matterhorn mountain in Switzerland. And there's a piece of cord, alpine cord there. And that cord speaks about this mission to climb the Matterhorn. Seven people climbed Matterhorn on the Swiss side, and they reached to the top and succeeded and were filled with what they thought was the full satisfaction of their heart. On the way down, four of them died because the cord snapped. So out of seven, three were left, and nearly all seven went, died, because the other three couldn't face coming down. And the story, the real story goes, that as the cord was examined, they discovered it wasn't a real alpine cord. There is one feature of the alpine cord, and that is there is a string, a red string, that runs right in the middle of this cord. And that string is what keeps the strength of the cord and makes it suitable at any moment, even when people slip, climbers slip. Now that red string was not there, and that cord in the wrong moment snapped, and that was the end. Now I would like to use this little example, as that red string is the red blood of Jesus that was shed at the cross. You know, dear friend, if you still do not believe in the Lord Jesus, it means that his blood has not washed away your sins. And you can do things. Yes, you can. You can climb mountains. You can do all that you want or believe you can do in life. But in the wrong moment, when trouble comes, that will not keep you. That will not save you. You will not be saved. Dear friend, be sure that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be sure that your life is characterized by the presence of that blood of Jesus that washes away your sin. We could use many examples. Scripture speaks of examples. The Passover example, the blood sprinkle, the blood there, the doorpost, to be sure that things were safe. Dear friends, it is my desire that we should be fully engaged with the satisfaction of Christ's heart. And that starts by being his own. He shall see of the fruit, the travel of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Dear friend, if you want to be the fruit and the travel of the Lord's soul, come to him tonight. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and then commit your entire life to satisfy Christ's heart, your own Saviour, your personal Saviour. For his name's sake. Amen.